Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
It's that wonderful time of year that we get to celebrate this season with giving and wonderful treats and that we can't eat.
I know, right? This is my doctor told me, she's like, you can do it through the month of December. I'm like, no, I don't think I can.
Do what through the month of December?
No sugars.
Yeah, forget that.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
I'm not.
Oh.
Hey, we haven't talked to you yet.
Take that back.
Yeah, take it back. Well, welcome to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast, everyone. Brought to you home from the home of SVI Media. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we're grateful to be here. What a wonderful time of year. So, Christmas season is here, the end of the week, and we're excited about it.
We are. I can't believe it's come already.
I know.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
We are going to go. We're flying to Washington, D.C. to see the folks for Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just you? Is there other siblings going?
No, just me and my wife and my kids.
Oh, fun. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a good time.
Is that their first time back that way?
Yeah, this is their first Christmas on the mission.
I know, but I mean, is this the first time for your girls to go to D.C.? Have they seen it?
Yeah, I don't think they've ever been to
D.C. Oh, wow. There's so much to see.
Yeah. We're gonna go see the sights.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, fun.
And if they'll let me in the White House, I'm going to straighten this country out.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know if they'll let me in.
Yeah, I went in. I did a tour of it.
Well, I mean the Oval Office. I need to sit in the chair.
I know. You have those high. Yeah.
The last people that tried to get in there, it didn't end well. And they look a lot
well,
like
I think that was the Capitol, wasn't it? I don't know, but maybe.
It was the Capitol.
I'm sure that there's been people that tried to get into the White House, too. But I feel like I just need to be invited.
Oh, yeah. So. That's probably not going to happen right now.
Probably not.
Not under these conditions.
Anyway, thank you to our sponsors, SVI Media. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Star Valley Health.
Yeah, Star Valley
Great
Health.
Great doctors, great nurses.
Yep. EcoLife, Lawn Care and Pest Control.
That's right. Duke.
Duke,
You're the man.
Call Duke, everyone.
Your rodent needs.
For your unwanted friends.
So did I tell you I got a kitten and he's an outdoor cat?
No, you didn't tell me you got a kitten.
Oh, my gosh.
Aren't all cats outdoor cats? I've never seen an indoor cat.
Oh, We have seen them.
I've never seen one.
When we go to houses, sometimes we see
I know, but they're outside cats that people are letting in, so indoors.
Oh, okay. So he yesterday kept going through the dog door, and he brought me throughout the day. Now I'm like frazzled by the end of the day, freaking out. 3 mice, 2 of which were not dead. And then he proceeded to kill him. And 2 birds. And the last bird, I was like, are you kidding? And so I finally wrestle and get the bird from him. And
he brought it inside?
Yeah, he brought all 5 of those in the house. And I guess he ate the other 4. But anyway, I went to throw it outside because I thought it was dead. Because it was all, laying there. And it flew off. I was like, oh
that's a Christmas miracle.
It was a Christmas miracle.
They ought to make a movie out of that.
Yeah, today I've blocked him. He can't come in anymore and bring creatures.
Well, my family, we've been watching a Christmas movie every day.
Oh, yeah, fun.
And it has been so wonderful.
Yes.
Normally this time of year, you get so busy. And there's so many things to do. We've kind of made it a family point. I mean, in between school singing things and Santa Claus things and all of these other things, it's difficult, but we've made it a point. And the other night I watched Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh yeah.
And at first I'm like, yeah, my word, this is gonna be the longest night of my life, but it's a really neat story.
That's cool. Yes, it is. It's really
people should really watch that to get the kind of the true meaning of what we're all doing.
Yeah. I was in the Azores for a week, and the way they celebrate over there is so interesting. I mean, because there's so many Catholics, are very, quite a few of them over there. And there was a lady. Okay, no. There's this couple that invited us to this party, which I was already like, well, I don't speak Portuguese, but okay, I'll go.
Okay.
And his mother was best friends and an actress with Judy Garland, but I can't remember her name. Anyway, that was such an interesting thing. They did a lot of candles and a lot of food and a lot of drinks for those that drank. And
really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't know that, you think they're on an island But yeah, it was. I could feel it, spirit. It was great.
Oh, so, good deal.
Yeah.
Well, hey, moving right along.
Okay.
We have guest in the studio today that's already interrupted us twice, so I can't turn him loose.
I can't wait either. I can tell I already like him.
So everybody in the Valley will know who our guest is today, and we're grateful to have him, and we have lots of things that we'd like to talk to him about today, but I'd like to introduce Josh Frazier.
Hi.
Josh is the voice that you hear at the football games, those of you that attend the football games, and he's usually the one that's quite colorful. And he's not afraid to call you out. If he sees something going on in the crowd, he'll call you out. Josh, how are you?
So good. Thanks for having me on. Yep, good.
Well, we're glad. You know, and when we sit down, I mean, we have a list of people that we would like to have on the podcast, and we just slowly work through them, you know, and there are people that live in the community, that contribute to the community, that maybe people don't know about.
So why am I 33rd on the list?
Well, you were actually 50-something, but the other ones declined. So no, I'm just teasing you. We can't get anybody. I'm just teasing.
That's funny.
So, Josh, you recently made a change in employment. I mean, as far as position goes, right? Yep. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been with the district now, the school district, for 18 or 19 years. So the first 17 or 18, I can't remember what number I'm actually on. You know how that goes.
Yes.
I was a counselor. They brought me on way back in 2005. And so, you know, over time, you get pretty familiar with how things work. You've worked with some really good people a long time. You've watched a lot of good people come through the district, administrators and teachers alike. You know, I just felt like I was ready to try something different. I actually went back and got my administrator endorsement 7 or 8 years ago, so I've been sitting on that a little bit. And with some changes that kind of came about 2 years ago, an opportunity arose, and the district made a really poor decision. So,
oh, that's so funny.
So now you're the vice president or vice principal, correct?
You're really stuck on this president thing. You really want in that White House.
I need to get in the White House. I just need to. I mean, give me an hour,
oh boy,
and I can turn things around. So faster than it takes people 4 years to turn around. I can tell you that.
I have faith in you on that.
Yep.
Yep. Now I'm the assistant principal over there under Farron Hatterley. Farron had been the assistant at the middle school, mm-hmm, obviously, for quite some time. And so I had been at the high school, but just as a counselor. He comes in now as the head principal, and he and I are both kind of somewhat new, but kind of not. But it's kind of an interesting combination coming into it, and it's been great working with him. He's a wonderful man.
You bet.
Were you a teacher as well?
Never was a teacher. No, in fact, my degree is in marriage and family therapy.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
so I come out of mental health directly. And
that's great.
Worked over at the counseling center right here back when it was High Country Counseling. Now mm-hmm. Behavioral health, and worked with them for 4 years, and then an opportunity at the school showed up, and so I made the move over there, and I've been there ever since. So I've been in the Valley just over 20 years now.
Nice.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Good deal. Well, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 podcasts that we've done, we've kind of talked about mental health. MJ and I have had our challenges just in the last 3 to 6 months, you know, and so we're kind of climbing out of things, and along those lines, you know, being a counselor, I'd like to ask you a question about the health of the kids. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. What are you seeing in the past 18 years of being a high school counselor that people should know about, communities should know about?
Sure. Well, back when I started, you know, kids, I feel there's always been depression around, and the ugly stepsister to that is anxiety. But when I first started, I feel like the depression was kind of at the helm of that, and anxiety mm-hmm. would often follow for whatever reasons, but wasn't as prevalent.
Right.
Today, anxiety is rule of all.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, kids walking in our offices nowadays, and we've got wonderful counselors at the high school and the middle school, and school psychologists below. And as we get together and talk over the last, oh, I would say 8-10 years, maybe even a little more, you can trace a lot of this back to 2012, I believe, which your brother-in-law has an article out today on smartphones.
Yes.
In Utah.
Yes.
And
that would be Governor Cox.
Yep. And he, but with that, you know, I've been involved with some assemblies and worked with the FBI and some different things on social media. We brought in some people over the years. This anxiety thing is enormous, and I think there's a couple of things to it. I think the phone plays a part of it. There's no question in this social media. You'll never convince me otherwise. But with that, I think parenting styles have changed a little. Kids struggle to do hard things a lot of times, and as adults, we tend to plow the road, if you will.
Okay.
You've kind of heard the helicopter parent or the bulldozer mm-hmm. parent, and I'm as guilty as the next guy in a lot of ways, to be honest. We all love our kids and care about them.
Right.
And as we're raising them, we're just trying to do the right thing, and a lot of times we don't do that, and that's okay, because mm-hmm. we're adults and we're not perfect in right. doing all of that. But that anxiety piece, we see a lot of that coming in, panic attacks, you know, and a lot of that walks through the doors. I would say, in my mind, that's one of the biggest changes. And here's another big change in terms of school district. Speaking of parents, I think back when the career started, this sounds kind of weird. I don't want to set it up as a competition, but parents were kind of on the teacher side. And back when we were kids,
yes.
if you got in trouble, you would take anything that principal dished out, just don't call dad.
Absolutely.
Right.
And today, I feel like there's a shift on that parents are on their kids' side, which they should be in so many ways. But that bulldozer piece then comes, and consequences are difficult sometimes right. to dish out without the backlash or some of those things. Now, again, we want parents involved, make no mistake. And in fact, the more involved the parents are, if they can separate themselves from their emotions.
Yes.
And we want to work with them, so do our teachers in that. But that is an interesting shift.
It is.
Educationally speaking, now again, how much that plays into the mental health is a little different way we could go with that. But
right.
Interesting.
Did you notice a shift after COVID and during COVID?
Oh, COVID, as everybody knows, has had a major impact on every aspect of our life. I swear, I don't even understand it still. And I think right. they're still, you know, the gurus out there are still studying what the heck happened.
Yeah.
yeah.
But absolutely, I think kids and or families' dedication to education, to be in school, attendance is something we fight. I believe district-wide, you'd have to talk to my counterparts at those younger grades, but as we get together as administrators and talk through this, attendance just is not high on the priority list, and it becomes difficult for us to figure out how then do you educate if we can't see them, you know, if we don't sure. get them in, and then you try to discipline your way out of attendance, and that sounds kind of weird, but we get nervous at the high school because if you send your student to school, you expect him to be in class, and you know, quote unquote, where they're at,
right.
and when they're not there, you believe we know where they're at, and we don't know where they're at. And now nobody knows where the heck they're at or what they're doing, and that's a real right. problem for all of us. So I've told parents, if we don't have your student here, they're better to be sitting next to you at home on the couch or at your work or wherever, because at least some adult in their life knows where they are. Mm-hmm. Because our school, of course, you know, we're just shy of 900 kids with 300 doors out of that building.
Oh, wow.
And not 300, but
but a lot.
There are doors everywhere, yeah. and to keep track of all of that,
sure.
those kids, we do the very best we can, and we've got a great attendance lady, you know, and Gina Fulmer, and our teachers and so forth and so on, but mm-hmm. kids are kids, and they'll do their thing, and so all of that put together gets difficult. That's a long way from mental health, so I better stop or I'll have you clear out in.
No, I love it. So. I love it. I mean, anything goes, obviously, on the podcast, but I love what you were going. Just a couple things that I would like to go back to. I mean, we covered a lot of ground right there, but so anxiety.
Yes.
I've been run on the ambulance now for 11 years. You've been longer than I have, MJ.
Mm-hmm. 16.
We see a lot of it, even in society.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of, it seems like I see more of it also in the adults.
No question.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those panic attacks get so bad, they think they're having a heart attack and dying, so they'll call 911. We go and pick them up and hold their hand, comb their hair, and they're fine, you know. But I think I agree with you with the phone and the social media aspect, but what is that? What is it about the phone, the social media, that is causing this pandemic?
Well, I think there's several things. As I've been to some conferences and, you know, read up on some things, that social media piece, you know, these apps are often set up to trap all of us. You know, it's behavioral modification, frankly, right? As soon as your phone dings, you get a little hit of adrenaline or dopamine. And you want to look. And every one of us, adults alike, we're not much different. We just weren't raised with them as kids. But, you know, and so they're kind of set up for that. And then they set up different things like streaks. And what's, you know, they tie them into almost a gambling. It has a similar effect on the brain as a gambling type thing does. And so that's one thing. Two, kids get into this comparison thing. And whenever kids are, or adults, we get on social media. I don't get on much of it, frankly. I'm not very good at it. But, and they start looking, well, what are we posting on there? All of the best things of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what happens for kids, especially in their concrete brain, because they can't think abstractly yet. And depending on the age, you know, that brain development's a huge piece. If these young kids have these phones really early on, they really don't have the capacity to think through this. You see what I'm saying? And so they see all the best things and they start looking at their own life going, well, I'm not going to Florida. And I didn't get a motorcycle, or whatever it is, you know, because generally we're posting the happiest moments, and they see families that are quote unquote put together with no problems whatsoever, and it's a total lie, because every single one of us, without question, has got stuff, without exception,
absolutely.
But you don't see all of that on social media, so they start comparing their lives to others' lives, but they don't have the truth of what the other lives are, but they can't put that all together.
Sure, that makes
sense. So that's a piece of it. The other piece of it is that blue light. There's some pretty strong research out there that it has an effect on the neurochemicals in your brain. And these kids are spending a lot of time staring at that screen, on that phone or whatever, the iPad, whatever device they have. And they're doing it well into the night.
Okay.
And I would just say to parents, for the love of all that's good and holy, get on your kids' devices and set up your parental settings.
Yeah.
Do it. And if you don't know how, frankly, at the school, we'll help you. I've gone through this with parents many times before. I had a parent a few years ago come in. The student was failing almost everything, and they were in a huge power struggle. And I start, and the student wasn't with us yet in my office, and I start talking about the phone. And the dad says, I got up to go to work the other morning at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I saw a light flickering under my daughter's bedroom door.
Yeah.
And he walks in, and she's on the phone doing stuff at that time. And, you know, I don't know that she was doing anything super inappropriate, but make no mistake, that's happened many times, right?
Yeah.
So, but as I talked to him, he had no idea about parental settings, and he was apprehensive, very apprehensive, and his wife was with him. They were both very apprehensive about taking that phone.
Oh, wow.
And or putting things like the settings on there or the restrictions and things like that. And I really had to talk them through it, because we're getting further along with this smartphone deal. Yeah. It's been around since 2012 now, which really isn't that long, but we're starting to see so many of these things. But I think parents are are taking the phones and handing them to kids without understanding a lot of times, and again, I think we're getting better at this, the ramifications. But when you've got a kiddo that's on that phone, I mean, we obviously use computers at the school, and it was iPads before that, and then they are on their phone all the time because they can't get a lot of their social media stuff on our devices. We've got a lot of that stuff locked down, so their phones are still a huge part. They go home, they sit on that phone until 11, 12, and in this case, 2 or 3 in the morning.
Goodness.
That is an that is an enormous amount of blue light, not to mention whatever all is going on on whatever he or she is doing. So set those parental and get those things out of your kids' rooms. You've got to set rules. And I'm telling you, as a parent, I've lived this. I'm living it right now. It is a ton of work. Go through your kids' phones. If they won't give you their passwords, they don't get a phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any app, anything they have, you should have access to as a parent. And it is so hard. It takes an enormous amount of time. And then you get into ghost apps and all of these things that these organizations are setting up to help people and or kids hide things. Like this thing goes into a huge conversation.
I think that answered my question
too.
Sure.
And I think parents need to put down their dang phone.
Yes.
Seriously. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I go to a football game and people are on their phones. Nobody's watching the dang game. And then all of a sudden, you know, people cheer. And so they're like, oh, they clap. And then they go back to the phone. So really, it needs to start at the parents' level. I mean, that is great advice you gave today.
It is. Great advice. So Josh, in your mind, when you have these kids coming in and you're seeing the increase in anxiety and depression, is the anxiety because they feel like they're failing in life? Is that where the anxiety comes from?
You know, it really depends on the student. There's a lot of hard, and I mentioned it before, none of us are free from it in one way or another. Hardship, heartache, dysfunction, frankly. Like, we're just not. And if you believe you are, you're lying to yourself. Like, I'm sorry, but there's difficulty out there. That just comes with the territory of this old life.
Yeah.
But depending on the student, they've got difficult things at home. You know, this time of year, oddly enough, we're Merry Christmasing and we're all happy in that. There are a host of kids who are dreading what's about to come for the next 11 days. We'll often see an uptick in behavior and stuff because their anxiety is going up because they're going to stay with dad who they haven't been around for the last 6 months since summer came and he's got a new wife and, you know, or whatever it is. And here's the thing. Some of those work great. I don't want to make it sound like every situation like that can't work and every kid this, that, and the other because there are wonderful, wonderful people and parents out there. And I'm a big believer that as human beings, 99% of us are truly doing the very best we know how to do. Now, that doesn't mean we're doing it right and we're never messing up because we can only do what we know.
Yeah.
Right.
But I would say then we can always figure do a little better. Or when we do mess up, as a parent, as a friend, as a spouse, whatever it is, the people that are most successful are the ones that will take a step back and do a self-evaluation and say, I could have handled that better. I should have. And next time they're in that, try it again. And it may be wrong again.
Yeah.
The only people that fail or parents that fail are the ones that don't even try. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, sure.
You're going to do some things wrong, but that shows you care. So going back to your question, it really depends on what's going on in that kid's life. I really believe what they're on, you know, what they're doing on their phone, the friends they have. There are so many things there. I don't believe there's a way I could answer that question and say, it is this. You know, because every one of those kids
is different.
And or adults. It's coming from a different situation, coming from a different background, coming from how they were raised. Things just recently went to hell in a handbasket. And they're trying to figure out how to deal with all of that. And and they don't know how because they're 14 years old or even older sometimes. You know, that frontal lobe of theirs isn't kicking in really until mid to late 20s is some of the research now. And they're just working with a limited ability to deal with a lot of that stuff. So that wasn't a very good answer because I don't have a great answer. And that's some of the work that the counselors have to do is really get in with these kids and figure out what is going on in their life? How do they think? How are they making sense of the world around them? And so forth and so on.
Yeah, that's great.
But speaking of mental health, sorry, you guys aren't going to do a lot of talking. You really made the wrong choice.
No, this is great. No, this is great. We this is the way we like it.
Mental health is a crisis in America today, like, period. And the fact that you guys are trying to bring some light to that, I think, is really, really awesome, because we are at a massive shortage. You know, our counselors at the high school and throughout the district, they're wonderful people, but, you know, we've got 3,500 students in this district or whatever. 900 of them are at the high school, and I've got 3.5 counselors plus myself.
Oh, wow.
When I can get in. But we're starting to send people to the online platforms out there. Charlie Health. Mm. What's that? Sorry, I had another one in my mind. Anyway, because the counseling center around here can't get counselors, can't keep counselors for various reasons. This place is getting very difficult to live in because it's so expensive.
You can't afford it.
Right.
And even if they had everybody, they still...
Sure.
We just have a shortage throughout the nation. Yeah. And
it's like, know, 20 years ago, nurses were a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we started paying, you know,
counselors,
mental health workers more people would go, you know, younger folks would go into it. And that's exactly what we need, because they're, you know, young and they have different outlook than we do at our ages. But that's just my thoughts.
No, I think it's a good thought for sure. What do you see? I mean, we live in a small community. I should say smaller community. Do you see differences between, or hear about differences between kids that live in a smaller type community than this versus kids that might grow up in bigger communities, Salt Lake or bigger cities?
I often bring that conversation up, and I think we're all in Star Valley. We love this place, all of us that live here. And we all know how fortunate we are to have this valley and to have the people around us. My personal belief, Travis, on that is you people, you know, your neighbors and so forth, they're picking up in a small community a lot of the slack, if you will, that the mental health professionals, because we don't have them. And so thank the good Lord that we have really great people in Star Valley, because they're willing to help, and we go to great lengths. I think one of the differences, as I've thought about, because I've said to, you know, my counselors at the high school, Reed Lasuma, wonderful man, Ben Hale's been there forever, and he's as good as they come. Jeff Johnson took my place a couple of years
ago. Jeff's awesome, too. Gosh.
And Barb Merritt is between the middle and the high school. I mean, you can't ask for better people.
Good job, Barb.
And those guys know what they're doing. But I've said to them before, what in the world does inner city Chicago and Denver Metro and even Salt Lake City do and here's what I absolutely believe. I don't know if this is true. We know these kids. We know who they are.
Yeah.
We have, somebody has a relationship with every one of those kids, and often multiple people. And because of this community, because of the wonderful people we have working for us, with us, with these kids, my thought is the difference is that very thing. We know them. And if they don't show up to school for 3 or 4 days, we know it.
Yeah.
Principals and counselors, we've done many home visits. What is going on? Where have you been? You know, this, that, or the other. And we sit down in the front room with, I'm not sure that's happening in these big cities.
That's huge. It just shows you care. You care about them, and that's what every student wants.
Yep.
Is somebody to love and care for them.
And we're fortunate, like I said, because we've had neighbors. I just not very long ago, I had a neighbor call and say, Josh, this student, my neighbor, has not left the house in, you know, however many days. Like, the parents don't care this, or don't seem to care, I should say. Or what? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it truly is the old adage that it takes a village.
Yeah.
And we are fortunate at Star Valley High School, Lincoln County School District number 2, to have wonderful families and wonderful people around us, and like, this is a wonderful place to be.
It is.
So,
sorry, I don't mean to keep asking other questions, but
no, you're okay.
Are smaller communities, on as percentage wise, are we still on par with bigger cities with mental health? Meaning, do we see as many on a percentage basis as a big city? Do we see less in smaller communities? Do we have different types of mental health that you would see in a big city? You know, I'm just trying to get a feel for that.
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure I can answer it because I've spent my whole career in Star Valley.
Right.
But here's what I would believe, and it goes back to my previous comment a little bit. I would bet we see more of it because we're more astute to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're more aware of it.
That would be my guess.
Now, I may be totally wrong. I'm not saying other schools aren't doing their jobs or aren't trying, because people go into the teaching profession or something to do with kids because they care about kids and do what the very best they can, you know. But I would guess just because of, you know, in Star Valley, you leave school, and there's some disadvantages to small valleys in a way, because you leave school, and I'm rubbing shoulders with Travis in the grocery store, probably on Sunday, and at the football, I can't get away from Travis, and I've tried.
I mean, most people have, Josh.
That is true, isn't it?
You call 911, I'm still coming.
That's right. And but that being said, that's also the very thing that makes us as powerful and as influential and as great as we are. It's an interesting concept, but I would guess that we see more, but I don't think percentage-wise it's any different. That's my, again, now I don't have anything necessarily to back
that
up.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So
good. What about, I'm just going to keep going if you don't butt in.
No,
so.
keep going. That's what you like to do.
What about, and this is a sensitive topic, but, you know, you get the LGBTQ population, and you get kids that are thinking that maybe they're not a male when they're, you know, a male. And then you get kids that are thinking that they're an animal, all of these things. How does all of that factor in?
Sure.
Because, I mean, we all hear the stories. We all live in this community. How does that factor into the
mental
health
discussion?
Well,
there's another example of small communities sometimes not being awesome, because one thing gets out there that they believe they've heard. And now we've got litter boxes in every bathroom through the
valley. And we've all heard it, you know.
Yeah. I mean. And none of that was ever the case or whatever. But, no, you know, those students we worry about, we care about. Statistically speaking, they're one of our highest populations for red flags and concern for suicide and all of that.
Sure.
We never want a student, regardless of where they stand, what they believe, or anything, to feel like they're unwelcome or picked on or any of those things. And we do all we can over there to support those kids and still stay within a realm that makes sense for our community, if you will. And I don't know how else to say that. But the truth is, we care about those kids just the same as that next kid, and we worry about them.
Yeah.
And it plays into it, because so much is happening in our nation. Then we're trying to keep up with laws
and
policies, and and this falls to the district office a lot of times. But we have a lot of discussions about this. You know, if a student wants to be called by a different name, where does that fall?
Sure.
And there's a huge lawsuit going on right now in Rock Springs over this very thing, and we're watching it really closely, because there's not a lot of case law out there yet to guide what schools are doing, and it puts us in a situation where you almost feel like you can't win. Like, Title IX is going to bring us all down by the end, because no matter what that decision is, frankly, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And really, in the end, the counselors, myself, the administrators, I would say, the teachers, all of that aside, it really boils down to that kid feeling cared about, known, valued in the halls of our school.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to educate them the same as we would any other student, because we're an education facility.
Right.
That's not real helpful, but I would say that's the approach that we take. We love them. We worry about them. We work with them and try to help them get to adulthood in the very best way that they can, and be as successful past, you know, in wherever they go from
Love
there.
It.
Yes.
Love it.
So.
It seems that, you know, it's. I think it's really easy, even for adults, to look around. I know that social media plays a huge role in the dread that people fear looking at society. I mean, you just turn on Facebook, absolutely, and we're on the brink of war with everybody. Everybody hates everybody. Everybody's fighting everybody. The president's taking away this, or our governor's taking away that, or whatever it is. And it's just so easy to feel this gloom and doom. And I talk about this with my kids daily. You know, we have so much to be thankful for.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, I mean, living in this small community, what does that mean to us?
Sure.
Our mental health, even, you know, mm-hmm. and I know that we struggle. Heck, we struggle.
Sure.
But I, at least in my family, and I'm probably singing to the choir here, and because I'm probably talking to myself more than anything, but it's an attitude of gratitude that helps, that's been able to help me and my kids through some stuff.
The research is undeniable on that. And Kim Kazare, who is
absolutely
the one of the greatest men, most would argue, to come through this valley, and does the brighter side, because that's where Kim lives, is on the brighter side. And back when he was in the school, he created the program Classy, and a big part of that was gratitude. Every day they had a gratitude journal. And it's amazing, because you're exactly right. We get inundated with that stuff because that's what sells, right? And all of these things, and kids on their social media, when this, that, and the other, and that very thing may have a bigger impact on our psyche, if you will, on the neurochemicals in our brain. There is research behind that that goes a long way back.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could work with our kids at home, we've done a little bit of it at school. The middle school did a lot of it when Kim was there, and I think a lot of the teachers still mm-hmm. use a lot of that stuff. And so that's really valuable advice as well.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you think of anything else you'd like to ask Josh while we got him?
Mm-hmm.
I just think this has been a wonderful podcast.
It's been so good. And we want to just keep going with this awareness. And it's such an important topic. I mean, this youth that's coming up is going to, be taking over our roles. And
well, I know,
make sure that...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we interviewed Megan, my wife, and we talked about her app for mental health that schools are using. Then talking with Senator Dockstetter, I mean, he is really on this.
He is.
With the Senate.
He's top notch.
And there seems to be this movement towards saving our kids, and I think that everybody would agree that we have a real problem. I mean, these counselors are just getting inundated.
Yeah.
We're getting inundated. It's just so easy to fall into this hole. And I personally feel, and I know Josh hit on this a little bit, but I feel like we need to disconnect a bit. I feel like we need to separate ourselves from our perceived reality, which is a cell phone and all that crap, to what our real reality is around us.
Sure.
And that is our kids, our spouses, our family, our homes, our bedrooms, that sort of thing. And get back to
quality time,
yes, and really what our reality is.
Yeah.
And so I mean it's easy to say, it's not that easy to do.
Yeah, right. And I was gonna say I don't disagree with that. Getting there, you've got a huge uphill battle. And I think part of the reason we're where we're at is this, the smartphones came out and they moved so quickly that all the laws and lawmakers and all of us parents and all of us are grappling. We're working backwards. We're trying to jump back to get
a
hold of this because it moves so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys that created the apps to go on these things, they're miles ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the pornography world
and
what's happened there. And you really get into the psychological piece of these apps I talked about early on.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are not dumb. Like, they have got groups of people put together to figure out how to ensnare us as adults. But more importantly, it's the same old story. Go clear back into cigarette days.
Yeah.
And trying to, because if they can catch them as youth, then, they've got them for 70 years or whatever it is. This is not a game they're playing.
Right.
This is way bigger than that.
Oh.
It is.
I mean, you mentioned pornography, and that is just one aspect of this whole issue, And
yes.
I mean, being in the church positions and that, I mean, I know what's it's doing to our youth. It's just clobbering
right
our youth, and
well, because
it's devastating.
Take Pornhub as an example. I just Reed Lasuma, the counselor I mentioned earlier, he and I were just talking earlier, and he read an article that said anybody gets on Pornhub and it asks, are you 18 years or older? That's it.
Oh, wow.
That's what we...
It's a yes or no question?
Yeah, that's what we have in place to protect our kids.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I may be misspeaking there. I haven't looked, nor do I intend to, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, heaven's sake.
But I'm just saying, if that's the level of protection we've got for our kids, again, they're so far ahead of us that the laws and everything are grappling to get caught up.
That is ridiculous.
But at least we're doing something, I guess, you know, trying to... You know, Utah, your brother-in-law has got the lawsuit in place right now against Meta and TikTok. Those guys are dealing with billions, maybe more money than the state of Utah has or whatever.
Sure,
you know,
I
don't know. Like, they have got and they have got a team of people that are working on all aspects of what this looks like and how to go about this thing. And they're not going to just... back down.
No,
we're talking literally about billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Now it comes back to us as parents.
Sure.
Like, that's where it comes back to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, our hats are off to you, Josh. And for all of the counselors and teachers at our schools, we admire you guys.
I mean, that's a lot of students and not many counselors. That's sad.
Just as a dad, I don't have any boys. I say this in my head at night. I'm so glad I don't have any boys, because I knew what it was like me as a teenager, you know, and what I must have done to my kids or my parents. But I'm just, it's a scary world at times to live in and raise kids. And you always wonder, is this world going to be okay for my grandkids?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I just look from when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, we were out with our BB gun shooting sparrows,
right?
You know, and that's what we did, and we could not wait to get out of school to hop on our bikes and go down to the barn and shoot sparrows. I mean, and I look back with such fondness of those memories, you know. And I remember the conversations that we had around the dinner table was Travis old enough for a BB gun, you know? And that was
he'll shoot his eye out.
That was life altering for me when I was able old enough to get a BB gun for Christmas.
Sure.
I mean, that was life altering for me. But now. At the time that I was having those discussions with my parents about getting a BB gun, we're talking about suicide.
Yeah.
And we're talking about
anxiety.
Heavily medicated and drugs.
Drugs,
And anxiety and depression. And my friend killed himself last week. And all of these things. And it's just so... The weight on these kids just feels so much heavier.
Oh, by far.
And so as a parent, you know, those that are listening to this, I know there's at least two of you.
Maybe three.
We just commend you for all you're doing, and don't give up.
Yeah.
You got to keep the fight.
You do.
Well, and you said, you know, it is scary out there in a lot of ways. But I'm going to go back to what you said earlier. There are a lot of wonderful things around us, for one, and wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go to Mahatma Gandhi, who said, be the change you want to see in the world.
That's right.
We can be afraid of everything out there, or we can go out there and be better than we were yesterday.
Yes.
And we can reach out to our neighbor, and we can smile at that kid and put our arm around him.
Yes.
Or whatever it is, and we'll make the world better. There's plenty out there, no doubt.
Sure.
But we can focus on that and worry about it, or we can try to do a little better and make the difference.
Yes.
And some days we're going to succeed at that, and frankly, the next day we may need the one that may be the one that needs the smile.
That's true.
And the arm put around us.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love this podcast.
I don't think there's a better way to even close the podcast than with that right there.
I don't either. Except for Merry Christmas, everybody.
Can you hear it?
No. Do it louder.
Well, Josh, thanks again for coming on our podcast today. That was phenomenal. It's that Christmas season, and I just hope that you guys are feeling the joy of the season and the peace that comes from God. And so may that fill your hearts this time of year, and please be safe. Enjoy your families. Maybe we can all make a commitment to spend a little more time with our kids and disconnect.
I totally agree.
Josh, thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
To all.